This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. Millions of Americans live with a chronic illness. It might not be life-threatening, but it is disrupting their lives in major ways. It's causing them pain, keeping them from activities they love. And with some of these chronic illnesses, like arthritis or lupus or MS, you can just barely manage the symptoms. A cure is not yet available. So there's an adjustment that has to happen. And our Pulse reporter, Tanya English, has been looking into just how people make this adjustment. Hi, Tanya.
Hey, Maiken. You know, it's a fascinating topic. I mean, what do people do when they have a body that is not going to get better? So I went out and reported and spoke with three different women who are kind of dealing with that. How do people make peace when they have an illness that feels like an enemy within? The first person that I spoke with is Molly Dennis. She's 29, and ever since puberty, she's been feeling just a little bit unwell, and she's tired all the time.
More often than not, my physicians would say, well, I think maybe you're depressed, or, you know, maybe you just need to get a better night's sleep, things like that, and it was never taken seriously.
That might have been because Molly was very young when her symptoms first started, and it just seemed like the doctors didn't seem to really hear her when she complained. And then a decade went by, she was still exhausted, still sucking it up, and living with freezing cold feet and a lot of pain. And then, finally, after switching to a new doctor, Molly learned that she has lupus. Lupus is an illness where the immune system gets confused and it starts attacking different parts of the body.
I always joke that my body just hates itself.
Molly has a sense of humor about all of this, and there is good treatment to keep her disease in check. But she says it's really frustrating knowing that she's never going to be well again.
Not only is it not going to go away, you have no way of predicting how it's going to affect you. So I might be feeling great today, but in 2 weeks, I could be in the hospital. I'm a planner. I want to know what's happening. And this is something that will not let me do that.
Molly was diagnosed 5 years ago. And she remembers that first year after her diagnosis, she cycled through many different feelings. You know, there was denial at first, and then some anger, and then depression. And then now, 5 years later, she's found kind of a wavering acceptance.
I am doing very well. Don't get me wrong. If you asked my doctor, he would tell you that I'm in remission. I don't know how I feel about that terminology, though. I always feel like I have lupus. Do you know what I mean? Like, I always feel the effects. You know, I always have those days where I can't keep my eyes open.
So is she able to work?
Yeah, so lupus, there's a spectrum of illness, and she's a little bit on the milder side, and so she does work. She works as a social worker, and she's also on some medicine now that's eased her pain. She found a support group that's helped her out a lot, and a few years ago, she decided to transform herself into a runner.
I had a partner at the time, and I remember looking at him being like, I'm going to start running. You know, it's like, okay, and I did.
And that's how she copes. And this fall, she ran her fifth 5K race for charity.
Does running lift her mood, or what does it do for her?
Yeah, Molly says even when she's not feeling well, when she's running, she's never felt so accomplished.
You said Molly has a milder version or case of lupus, and I'm assuming that running is not an option for a lot of people who are dealing with serious chronic illness. So what else did you find? What else do people do?
Yeah, so everyone kind of deals with it differently. The next person that I spoke with was Emily Cease. She has fibromyalgia. That's a condition that comes from chronic sleep problems. As a result, Emily has all over muscle pain and tenderness, and even just sitting for too long or putting on a bra sends pain messages to her brain. To diagnose the condition, her doctor did kind of a classic simple test.
He touched points on like the upper back, around my neck, around my elbows and knees, and he sent shockwaves of pain through my body with that, you know, to the point where my knees buckled at one point.
Mike, and you can even hear Emily's struggle in her voice. It's a bit shaky, and she says unsteady is how she feels all the time.
So what does she do?
Emily lives in central Illinois with her husband, and she has a dog and a cat and a circle of friends that are supportive for her. But she says maybe it's her online community that really helps the most.
These people are my friends. I call them my internet BFFs.
On Twitter and on her blog, Emily connects with people who are also dealing with an illness that is not going to go away. They post funny videos and they create GIFs, and they find each other with the hashtag chronic life or hashtag chronic pain. On the internet, Emily says she doesn't have to keep up appearances.
You kind of need to talk to somebody who just gets it. It's a way to kind of give my caregiver, my husband, a break from having to listen to me all the time. Because it's every day, it's all day, it never stops.
Emily says that social media is a place where she can let her guard down and just be herself. And also her Twitter friends have given her a boldness that she says she never had before. She was raised to respect and defer to authority, and that includes doctors.
Dealing with this illness, I've kind of had to relearn everything. And, you know, when I'm in some situations, I almost feel like I have to be combative to get my point across or to get the treatment or care I need.
A few weeks ago, for the first time, Emily admitted to herself and she announced on her blog that having a debilitating illness is her new normal.
Up until that point, I had kind of seen myself as this healthy person just waiting for her luck to change, you know? Like, one day this is all just going to be over and I won't have to deal with it anymore.
And Tanya, it seems like a lot of people have to reach that moment. And that sounds like a really hard, hard moment.
Yeah, the third person that I spoke with, her name is Cherie Perrone. She has lupus. And that moment came for her, that realization came for her maybe 10 years ago at the end of a day of work. She was walking to her car and suddenly she got confused. So she called her husband.
And he said, "Where are you?" I said, I'm at work. I'm in the park." "What do you mean you can't get home?" I said, "I don't remember how to get home. I just don't remember."
So she didn't know where she was?
Yeah. So a lot of people don't know this, but memory loss or lapses in memory called lupus fog can come with lupus sometimes. Cherie also has some more of the classic symptoms. She has a lot of fatigue and pain, and she's dealing with swollen hands all the time.
I'm in pain every day. I guess at my worst, my hands really look like baseball mitts.
Her pain and her memory lapses have been socially isolating for Cherie, but she says she gets comfort from volunteering, and that's the way she copes. Her activism is on display all the time.
Somebody will say, "Didn't I see you in purple yesterday?" "Yes." "You wear purple every day?" "Yes." "Why do you wear purple?" "Because I have lupus."
Like pink for breast cancer, purple is the awareness color for lupus. The day that we met, Cherie had on plum corduroy pants. She had boysenberry suede shoes and purple bracelets.
I have on my purple lupus band that says, "Help us solve the cruel mystery." My wedding ring has a purple stone in it.
Cherie doesn't work anymore. She's officially disabled today. But a couple times a week, she volunteers for the Lupus Foundation of America. It's a struggle for her just to walk the 75 feet from the parking lot to the office building.
That's my journey. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm a little winded. Still achy.
After a few quiet moments to recover and a sip of her tea, Cherie spent the afternoon on the phone taking calls and speaking with other people newly diagnosed with lupus.
I have to live out what I'm telling other people. And I can't sit there and say it's going to be okay if I don't believe that's going to be the case.
I guess she tries to talk people through dealing with their lives and finding a way forward. But what is science saying to all of this? What do we know about lupus?
Lupus is an autoimmune disease, and that's kind of an umbrella term for maybe 24 different kinds of illnesses. And as a group, autoimmune diseases are more common today than they were maybe a decade ago. They include a lot of illnesses that you've probably heard before, so multiple sclerosis, celiac disease, scleroderma, and about 80% of the Americans who have an autoimmune disease are women.
These different diseases sound really different, though, and they all have totally different symptoms. So what do they have in common?
It's like a case of mistaken identity inside the body. The immune system starts to do battle with its own cells or tissues as if they were foreign invaders. With alopecia, it's the hair follicles. With celiac disease, the lining of the intestines is under attack. In the case of rheumatoid arthritis, the body thinks the joints are an enemy.
What do we know about the causes of autoimmune diseases, and why are we seeing this rise?
I spoke with a physician from the American College of Rheumatology. She says that the increase in cases is probably not just because of better diagnosis or because of better awareness. A combination of genes and environment cause an autoimmune disease. And there's only a very short list of triggers that we've linked to these illnesses. The sun, smoking, some kinds of dust, certain kinds of radiation, and pesticides. And those are triggers, not causes. It's a little different.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you.